What's up, guys? Welcome back to the Bowl Call Fantasy Football Podcast. Today, we're talking wide receivers, sleepers, rankings, everything you need to know about the wide receiver position for 2023 for your draft. And to break it down with me, my man with the plan, my partner in crime, Alan Sislowski from RotoWire. What's up, my brother?
What's up, the geek? Wide receiver, man, this is a very different year for wide receivers because the sharper markets are attacking wide receivers early and often. And I am very interested to see why do you think that this is happening. And it's not just that we have to rank our wide receivers. We have to understand when the right time to pivot off the position is going to be. And I'm a running back drafter. I'm rethinking my draft strategy for 23.
See, here's the thing. I do know why. And I've drafted enough to know exactly what goes on here. And I understand it, and I like it. So basically, from the way I see the 2023 season, the drop-off at wide receiver is happening. The cliff is aggressive. And when you start to run out of names, what's happening is there are still running backs available that are pretty good. So the way this season seems to be coming out, I think there's a greater shift in philosophy in the NFL just to the passing game in general. I think that's part of it. But combine that with sort of a cliff at wide receiver, and I think some of that is like when you get to the Tampa guys. That's where the cliff is. It's like, oh, these guys have terrible quarterback play or mediocre. And then you start to get to the Washington wide receivers, the Terry McLaurin's. Like, ooh, I like him, but Sam Howell. So when you get to that zone of the wide receivers that don't have quality quarterbacks or have sketchy quarterbacks, there are still good running backs on the board. Like, you're like, oh, Cam Akers is there. Okay. So the way I see this season going down, it does make sense to attack the wide receiver position early. And what did you tell me? Get those guys who you never have to think about.
Yeah, I mean,
worry about their matchup.
Totally. And if you're playing in a league with start three wide receivers, especially, even if it's two with a couple flex spots, you want three wide receivers that like basically start themselves. And what we mean by that is if T. Higgins, if Devontae Smith, if A.J. Brown have a bad week, you're not even thinking about it. You're starting them the next week. Where I would even say that if Terry McLaurin, if Chris Godwin, if those guys have two bad weeks in a row, like a 3 for 30 with no touchdown, a 4 for 40, you're like guessing whether to start them or not. If Jamar Chase has a couple down weeks, he's automatically in your lineup. So you don't want to have to. What's the worst thing in fantasy football? It's start sit decisions, and then you start asking a million experts, hey, should I start Marquise Brown with a good matchup, or should I start Cortland Sutton or Brandon Ayuk? And there's no answer. No fantasy analyst is going to have the answers. But if you have two or three wide receivers that basically start themselves, you'll know who the running backs are to start. You'll know who's out and is projected to get a bunch of carries. Even someone like Devin Singletary, who is the backup running back in Houston. If Damian Pierce misses a game, Singletary is probably slated for 15 to 18 carries. You're starting him in most leagues. That's not true for the wide receiver position.
Yeah, you actually mentioned some of the right names too. Marquise Brown is another one. So many studs that have horrible quarterback play attached to them this year. And those guys are in the top 36, 38. So you want to be first to your three. You want to get your three wide receivers this year before the first 36 are gone. And that's really why the math works out the way that it does.
Does that make you rethink our Bijan stance about taking him in the first round when guys like CeeDee Lamb, Garrett Wilson, A.J. Brown, Chris Olave are on that 1-2 turn? I mean, should we be getting two of those guys and leaving Bijan Robinson's mega season forthcoming to someone else?
Yeah, well, that's really why he's not like number one overall, right? Like, you know, so wherever you want to take that first running back in, for you and me, that's Bijan. For other people, they're saying other
McCaffrey
names.
Or McCaffrey or Eckler, whatever it is. It doesn't matter. Yeah. But the point is, where do you pivot off running back, off receiver? You know, I mean, do you take running back one or do you take receiver five? I mean, that's really the question here. And I think the answer is receiver five. You know,
Probably.
And that happened to us in our NFFC draft where I was sitting there at pick six. It was Tyreek Hill fell, which, you know, that made it a lot easier because Tyreek Hill is is, you know, probably a top three wide receiver at this point with Cooper Kupp's injury, and we'll talk about that. But I'm not taking running back one there. I've rethought my strategy.
I like it. And listen, that's why strategically it is important. I do think you can take the running back in the first round and still wind up with three really, really good wide receivers, but you need to take wide receiver 2, 3, and 4 at that point. There is no time to waste. Once you've done the move, you've got no time to waste because you are starting to get into a zone of like mediocre wide receiver 3 or a guy outside of the top 30, which again, the fall off is fast and furious. So let's get right into it. You actually mentioned some rankings. And before we fully dive in, the last question I've got is Joe Burrow news. The news is that Joe Burrow he's injured. We know this. We don't know when he's going to be back. They're saying the end of training camp, maybe into the season. We don't know.
Yeah, we saw a blurb that suggested that Jamar Chase was telling the wide receiver, number one wide receiver for Joe Burrow on the Bengals, suggesting that he told Burrow, don't come back until like the first month of the season's over. We don't need you right away. Like, we want you healthy. Now, last we checked, Jamar Chase is not a doctor, but it really does speak to what the mentality of the team is. It's like they had the long game in mind here, and if he's going to miss a couple weeks or play compromised, that affects. I mean, Joe Burrow is a top 5 or 6 quarterback on most boards. I've seen him as high as QB4.
So I mean, how does it affect Chase? Not as we're talking it wide receivers. You don't. It doesn't affect him for you.
Well, okay, so you and I and the rest of the fantasy industry, most of 99% believe that Justin Jefferson is the locked and loaded wide receiver 1. So the question is Chase the wide receiver 2, or you now want to move Tyreek Hill above him? That's really your question here.
That's what that is the question, 100%. So we're getting into our rankings, right? We've got Justin Jefferson, number 1 overall. There's nothing to talk about there. Jefferson is the number 1 guy.
He's number 1 player in fantasy.
The number 1 player in fantasy. Could he be outscored by any of these other guys? Yes, but the consistency, the same team, the lack of concerns at what, you know, you might ask me, why not Cooper Kupp? Cooper Kupp's got all kinds of injury concerns, right? From his quarterback and himself. Why not Tyreek Hill? Same deal. Tyreek Hill, QB injury concerns. With Tua. Tua could be gone week 1, 5 minutes into the first game, and never his career over.
Chase and Jefferson are 23 years old, have proven it for multiple years. As much as we love Tyreek Hill, he's 29 years old. I mean, you know, that's a tiebreaker for me. You know?
A little bit of injury risk. So you got Tyreek Hill, number 3 overall. And for you, the concerns with Burrow don't affect Chase.
It does. It affects my confidence, but not enough. Put it this way. If someone took Tyreek Hill over Chase, I have no problem with it, where I might have had a problem with it before. It is a concern, but he's so good, and he's so explosive, and he can really tilt your week that it wouldn't change my ranking, but I understand now if somebody does. I mean, would it change your ranking? If you're on the clock at pick 2 and you're committed to receiver, are you taking Chase or are you taking Tyreek Hill?
Man, I think I'm still taking Chase.
Well, there you go.
I definitely know. So here's the thing. I don't definitely know that Burrow is going to miss any time. If I definitely know that Burrow's missing a month or two, out on Chase at that point.
Right. What have they said that he is not right now, that he's they've decided they're going to bring him back week 3. They're not going to bring him back week 1 or 2. It wouldn't change a thing, right?
Week 3 probably doesn't change anything.
Okay. So operate on that assumption that he's going to miss a couple games or be playing compromised.
That's fair. Yeah. All right. So let's continue on. And we talked about what's the break point for Bijan / your favorite running back. And I want to get into that here. So
real quick. Do you know who the backup quarterback is for Cincinnati? Should he have to play?
I have no idea.
It's Trevor Siemian.
Oh, okay. You know what?
He's not a 0.
Yeah, that's not a 0. Okay. I thought, that's actually fine. That's a guy who they might win a game or two with. So, okay.
It's somebody that will know to throw the ball to Jamar Chase. Put it that way.
Yeah, I think he can probably produce a good game to Jamar Chase. All right, so we talk about our top 4, and you and I have consensus here. I don't think there's any disagreement. So we're Jefferson, Chase, 1, 2, little break in tier right there. Then you've got Hill and Cooper Kupp, 3 and 4. Both for me. So just to be clear, Cooper Kupp and Tyreek Hill both carry QB that can get injured with a hard sneeze risk.
At least Miami, though, has a credible backup with Mike White. We saw him with the Jets last
year.
He's
not credible.
I mean, it's not, do you know who the backup quarterback is in Los Angeles should Stafford get hurt? It's Stetson Bennett, a fourth-round rookie. I mean, that's who it is. So
it's a very bad scene on either team with a with,
I would be okay with Mike White. No. I'm not okay with Stetson Bennett.
I'm not okay with either guy. If you took your guy second, you are losing your league if the QB just under you're going to you could be okay with Mike White all you want. You're losing your league that year. Like, you're done. If you take Tyreek Hill and Tua goes down, your season is probably over.
Mike White has had multiple 400-yard games in the NFL. I mean, that's something.
No, it's not going to happen. Your season is basically done. And it's worse with Cooper Kupp, I think. It's worse with Cooper Kupp. So that's the concern. I'm just pointing out that normally in the first round, you take a little bit of risk. There's higher risk on these guys than the next guys. But I am curious. So that's your tier two, Hill and Kupp for me. And they're only tier two. They're only a teardrop for me because of the injury risk to them and their QB. If not, I think Cooper Kupp scores the most fantasy points this year.
He could easily finish as the wide receiver one if he's healthy. He was on track to be the wide receiver one before he got hurt last year.
Even last year. That's what I, you know, for all the talk, Cooper Kupp probably scores the most fantasy points this year if everybody stays healthy. Just accept it. All right. But there's risk there.
Well, here's where the fun starts. 5, 6, and 7. How are you ordering these guys after the big four off the board?
So I'm going to tell you, and man, you could change it around, and I have no issue. I'm going Diggs, Lamb, and Brown.
A.J. Brown?
Yeah, and A.J. Yeah. Brown, 5, 6, and 7, with the caveat that my actual tier here and lack of differentiation actually drags all the way down from Diggs to Amon-Ra. So my number 7, Diggs, or my number 5, Diggs, 6, Lamb, 7, A.J. Brown, then Wilson, Devonta Adams, and Amon-Ra, all the same for me.
Yeah, I have it a little different, the order. I have Amon-Ra at 5.
I like it.
I have Diggs at 6, and then CeeDee Lamb at 7. Tier break, A.J. Brown, you know, then we get into all those guys. Garrett Wilson.
And you have Garrett Wilson ahead of Devonta Adams as well?
Yes. For quarterback reasons, team context reasons, all that kind of stuff. Because it's not so much that I don't like Jimmy G for Devonta Adams. It's that Jimmy G always misses games, and their backup is Brian Hoyer, the Raiders, and they also have a fourth-round rookie named Aiden O'Connell from Purdue.
No, it's very bad, and you know Jimmy G can't stay healthy a season. I have the same thought with Adams.
But back to Amon-Ra St. Brown.
I've had
this argument with some of the guys over at RotoWire saying that they don't think Amon-Ra St. Brown has the commensurate upside of some of these other guys because he's been a low touchdown scorer, like 5 and 6 touchdowns. If you look back, Amon-Ra led the NFL in wide receivers that were tackled inside the 5-yard line. Now, what does that mean? What could we do with that? Let's say that was like a freak thing. Like they give him the ball inside that, you know, into the red zone. Let's say he now goes from 6 touchdowns to 9 or 11. Now you're talking about wide receiver 1 overall. If he gets 135, 140 catches, Amon-Ra St. Brown is going to be the only game in town while Jameson Williams serves a suspension. They have a rookie tight end and they have a rookie running back. His lack of touchdown scoring is directly correlated to last year when Jamal Williams led the NFL in touchdowns, especially inside the 5. Now, if that, quote, regresses back to something normal and Amon-Ra gets 9, the running back has 9, whoever that goal line back is, that's why I like Amon-Ra St. Brown as the number 5 overall player. High floor, high ceiling.
I have no problem with it. 6 touchdowns last year, 4 games missed, 106 receptions. If he plays the full season, he is Justin Jefferson.
The only reason that he's being dragged down still is because he was a 4th-round real NFL pick. If Amon-Ra St. Brown has done all this and got better each year, and he was a 1st-round pick, pick 23 overall in the year he came out, this wouldn't even be a discussion. We'd be talking about Amon-Ra St. Brown in the same tier as Justin Jefferson and Ja'Marr Chase, maybe at the bottom of it, but we would be talking about him in that tier.
I couldn't agree more. Amon-Ra is a stud. There's nobody coming in Detroit to replace him. Even when Williams is off his suspension and plays, he's a deep threat. Like, he is not playing the same position at all. He's the DJ Shark of that team. It doesn't affect Amon-Ra St. Brown.
It could help him. Yeah. Right? It could opens the field up a little bit.
I love the pick. It's ballsy. I love the boldness of it. You are a bold man. It matches the hair. Bold.
Both of us.
Covered up with a hat. Yeah. All right. Moving on.
Diggs, even though there's been like Diggs is like a boring pick, he's a very good first round pick. So anyone that's he might be the point where I pivot off to Bijan or whoever your RB1 is, but it probably if you start three receivers in your league, I would probably still suggest taking Diggs, even though I would be tempted to go Bijan.
Yeah, that is where the temptation begins. But again, for me, all of these guys are pretty similar. Now, all right, so I'll differentiate a little bit between the groups. So if I have to differentiate a little bit, it's, listen, A.J. Brown, probably not the level of volume and a little higher injury frequency than some of these other names. A.J. Brown has never been with the Eagles getting 10 targets per game. So you're expecting a little bit more explosiveness out of him. But on a spectacular offense that you want a piece of, so who cares, right? But that's A.J. Brown kind of negative. Garrett Wilson, we have not seen it with Aaron Rodgers before. So if you want to have a negative argument there, it's just, you know, Aaron has his guys, and if they don't get along and they, you know, they miss one another once or twice, you never know what could happen there. It's not like they have chemistry and history. So I'm just pointing out, I'm nitpicking. I'm picking the nits. Looking
as
for
you
nits
should.
To pick.
As you yeah, should.
Because they're small. And of course, we talk about Davante Adams, bottom of that group, because Jimmy G just can't stay healthy. And he's never done it with Jimmy G.
Yeah, I mean, Davante Adams just produces with everybody. So if you pick him and you get him like in the middle of the second round because he falls, it's a great pick. It just, he's not, if we knew that, like, for example, if he was on the New York Jets, he would be a first round pick. He'd go ahead of CeeDee Lamb if he was back with Aaron Rodgers, right? I mean, it would
definitely. Yeah. Yeah. It's just we haven't seen it. We haven't seen this combo. We don't know about the chemistry. So we get, all right, we've got 10, we've got our top 10, right? And it's the same names, you and I, slightly different orders, but I'm fine with it. Like I said, I'm fine with pushing Amon-Ra all the way up to lead that second stud group.
I almost took him at pick 6 in our NFFC draft. I was taking Tyreek Hill. I wasn't going to be like the hero, but I really did think about Amon-Ra there.
I don't mind it. And like I said, I'm not going to argue against that second group because I think you can order them however you want. Yeah. And any one of them can be the WR1 for the NFL this year.
All right.
Now we get to group number. Well, I'm going to call this tier 3, right? And these are big tiers for me, but I'm going to call this group tier 3. And I'm very curious as to how you order this. And I think we are going to be talking about the same four names here. All right, so I'll give you the names. And I'm not going to put them in order. I've got Chris Olave in this group. T. Higgins, Devontae Smith, and Jalen Waddle. Now, you tell me, starting off, is there another name that you're like, oh, you forgot to mention this guy? Or is that the next four for you?
That would be the next four in my rankings, but there's a play. The Christian Watson, even though he goes 2 and 3 rounds later, would be in the same. Like, I'd rather have Christian Watson at cost than not Waddle and Devontae Smith. Those guys are the next two on my list. But after that, man, it's like Higgins and Chris Olave. I don't see much of a difference between them for fantasy football and Christian Watson. So I think you have the right grouping as far as like playing the ADP market.
Yeah, I would say if you have Christian Watson ranked as high as the rest of those guys, you push him up. But yeah, you Christian Watson, you can get multiple rounds.
Right. In sharper leagues, end of round 3, round 4, in most, like if you're playing on ESPN or Yahoo, you're going to see him on the default rankings like almost in the 6th round. So just be aware of that if you're on Sleeper. He's pushed up. Default rankings, the other platforms, mainstream platforms, down for Christian Watson.
We talk about this a lot, but default rankings in your league are very, very important.
Like psychology, the psychology of draft rooms. It's very, it means everything. It happens to us, too. We're like, oh, this guy's down on the list. I could take him around later.
And even just, that's right, the game that you play where you know somebody should be going, but you're like, my lead weights don't know. He's multiple rounds buried in the chart. So you got to play, of course, you got to play value in ADP. But that being said, It is interesting that you have him. I don't have him all the way up here. So he hasn't done it.
Yes, he has.
to me, Christian Watson flashed for three or four games.
No, Christian Watson. Okay, so let's just back that up. I want to make sure everyone understands. Christian Watson is the wide receiver, second-year player on the Green Bay Packers. He was not a full-time player until about week 10 last year,
because
right?
Because of injury.
Because of injury. Okay, yeah. But when he started full-time player week 10 to week 18, so 2 months, small sample, but football is a small sample. 2 months, decent size. He was the wide receiver 9 in that time period. Right, I mean, so a wide receiver 1 for fantasy football. Now, you might say that was with Aaron Rodgers. That's a very good counter argument. But he did have one game with Jordan Love, week 12 versus the Eagles. That's a real defense where he had 4 catches, 110 yards, and a touchdown. Again, it's better than not doing that. That was a good week.
But again, it's very Chase Claypool-esque in terms of low volume, big explosive plays. That's not the same thing. I'd rather see 12 receptions, 10 receptions, yeah. That kind of, like, Amon-Ra St. Brown year one production, rather than what Christian Watson did, which was have a lot of touchdown plays. Like, it was not volume. It was very much explosive play, touchdown based, which I love. It's awesome. Hey, somebody who does that is spectacular, but it's not as repeatable. It's not as locked in repeatable as, let's say, Amon-Ra coming into last year, where you were seeing 10, 12 targets a game, and he was just doing really impressive things, but with volume. So anyway, we'll get back to him. We'll get back to Christian. I want to order these 4 and really talk about Waddle, Smith. So I it sounds like you have the same setup as I do. My actual ranking goes like this. My WR11 is Jalen Waddle, with the caveat I am concerned about Tua getting hurt again and ruining him. If Tua gets hurt, he's donezo. Then I go Devontae Smith, and one of the things I love about Devonta Smith is he projects exactly the same for maybe 2 less touchdowns as AJ Brown, who's going about a round ahead of him. So Smith got targeted more than AJ Brown last year, averaged more targets per game. I don't have the I do have the number. Averaged 9 targets per game last year. Brown did not. He got targeted more. So I think Smith is just as much the WR1 for the Eagles as AJ Brown is. And why take Brown when you can get Smith the whole round later? That's kind of my thought with AJ Brown. It's been that way all season. From there, I go Olave and then Higgins. And I don't know. Do you have that the same way, Cez? Are you Higgins, Olave? Who are you taking first?
Out of Olave and Higgins?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you can make a case for either one. It's really preference. I'm going to take Chris Olave. He's the number one receiver on his team. We like his quarterback enough to feed for fantasy football. Derek Carr, and he goes deep. I mean, T. Higgins, he's the number two receiver on his team. I mean, Jamar Chase is a hog. We like him. We think he would be a number one on most, but I think I would break that tie with Olave. But if you have a T. Higgins preference or you like the team setup better, no problem there. Those guys, my preference, Olave, doesn't matter which one you'd take.
If you look at T. Higgins and you go through his game logs from last year, and just go from the last 2 years, and you just go through his game, because we're all like, oh, T. Higgins is great. T. Higgins is almost not an elite wide receiver. If you look at, he will pop off for a 30 every once in a while. So what happens with T. Higgins is every once in a while, a team will just focus their energy on stopping Chase. And you know, the defensive coordinators do this. We see it in DFS where like a Cooper Kupp is going nuts. And then all of a sudden, like the other guy, and you're like, why? Or Jefferson would go nuts for Justin Jefferson would go nuts for a few games. And all of a sudden Adam Thielen back in it, you know, would get this great game. And you're like, what happened? And you're like, oh, when you watch the tape, you're like, oh, look what they did. They bracketed the shit out of Jefferson. And in the case of Higgins, oh, they're bracketing Chase. Chase burned these guys. They weren't going to let Chase beat him. They put 3 on Chase. And then T. Higgins has that explosive game. The problem is, in between that explosive game, you get a lot of 8 to 12 scores. And those are killing you on your WR1. That is not WR1 level production. And I would argue, even though I do have T. Higgins ranked here, he is not somebody that I have on any team at all. I just,
well,
never...
Would you rather have T. Higgins in the second round, or would you rather have Christian Watson in the fourth round? We'll go back to Christian Watson again.
Yeah, I mean, in the fourth round, of course, value-based.
Would you rather have DeAndre Hopkins or Calvin Ridley in the third round, or T. Higgins in the second round?
All of it is better to not take Higgins.
Okay, so then that's where you're taking a running back. That's where you're looking at, because we're trying to give draft strategy here, as not just rankings. So,
or you just jump to the next guy and you say, you know what, fuck it.
Well, if Olave is gone, that the tier does dry up after T. Higgins, because now you're looking at like Keenan Allen, Jerry Jeudy. It feels a little reachy there.
I get really different here. So I'll tell you where I go right after T. Higgins, and you're going to – this might blow your mind. It's a name that I always love, though, and he always smashes, and no one ever loves him. This has been my cheat code for fantasy football for like 3 years, and it is my boy, Amari Cooper. I am Amari Cooper, WR15 overall.
Good situation this year, too, with Deshaun Watson.
Give me a healthy year with Deshaun. Give me Deshaun's WR1. No one's talking about – what is the ADP for Amari Cooper right now?
So in the sharper leagues, like the professional leagues, he does go in the third round. But in your home league, he's not going until like the late fourth round.
So, but let's say NFFC, in the sharpest league.
He's in play anywhere between pick 3.2 and 3.8.
And which is, it's, you know, like 30, WR, it's, what?
Wide receiver 15, 17.
Okay. Yeah, so there we go. So I'm ahead of the field on Amari Cooper. I think Amari Cooper's going to smash this year. I'd rather have Amari Cooper above T. Higgins.
That's a hot take.
Yeah, I would take him before Higgins, because Higgins is WR2. He's giving you all these duds, and Amari Cooper should not give you tons of dud games. So continue on from here. This is a sketchy part of the WR position, so I really want to focus in on your rankings as well. So we're at WR...
By the way, I just pulled up Amari Cooper over the last 5 days on the NFFC.
I think he's worse than 15. I would imagine he's like WR23 or 24.
You got it right, Geek. He's WR20 going overall pick 37. So that's the 3-4 turn.
Okay. All right. So he is actually moving up in a, that's actually higher.
But
than
remember, wide receivers go crazy there. In your home league, yeah, the running backs are going to get pushed up a little bit. So it's still the fourth round. But it's just a half round push up because of the receiver craze. But the ranking within the wide receiver is and T. Higgins, by the way, goes wide receiver 14, Cooper wide receiver 20, and the Higgins ranking is the middle. Is the 2-3 turn. So
Higgins goes ahead of Devontae Smith.
They're back to back. Smith in the NFFC Smith goes one wide receiver position earlier. He goes wide receiver 13, but he goes at pick 23. So basically, you're deciding in your drafts between those two. So the pick difference is negligible. When you're on the clock, you're having to decide between those two guys. And if you pick after that guy, then you have to pick. You know, you take the one that's left.
Yeah, yeah. I like it. Listen, I think this is where you can get an edge. You know, I've got Amari in my WR 15 overall 14, and he's like, going 2021.
Right. Like here, let's give the people some actionable stuff. Like here's some of the wide receivers that are going to go before Amari Cooper that you should absolutely not take in our opinion. And Geek, if I'm speaking for you here, just stop me if you're taking Cooper over Calvin Ridley.
Oh, yes.
Debo Samuel.
Oh, my God. Yes.
Jerry Jeudy.
Oh, easily.
Keenan Allen.
Absolutely.
Okay, here's a tougher one, because all those I agree with, but they're all going before Cooper. Would you take DK Metcalf or Amari Cooper? Now,
I want to pause this. I am not a fan of DK Metcalf this year.
Okay, now he goes a full round ahead. He goes. This is what I'm 29. Talking about.
This is your edge, or if you want to follow my approach, this is how you get the edge this year. Let somebody else take DK Metcalf. DK Metcalf's season last year was not very good. He didn't put up big numbers last season at all. The touchdowns weren't there. He had a few big games, right? I don't have the numbers in front of me, but he had a few big games, but he did not produce consistently. I don't think he had a ton of touchdowns. He just was not a great fantasy producer. Now they're adding Jaxon Smith and Jigba to the mix over there.
Tyler Lockett's no slouch himself.
And Tyler Lockett continues to be good. So how does Metcalf get better, where now he's got to split the targets with another viable slash really, really good competitor on his own team? I don't like it. I'm off of Metcalf. That's what I'm saying. I purposefully moved Cooper and Calvin Ridley ahead of DK Metcalf to make sure that if you're following my rankings available on dfsarmy.com under the best ball rankings, the NFL season-long best ball rankings tab, you won't end up with any DK Metcalf on your team because he just wasn't that great last year, and he's too high in the rankings relative to the results. Plus,
DK Metcalf last year had 90 catches for 1045 and 6 touchdowns.
These are disappointing. 90 catches. Just understand, all of these other wide receivers that we're dealing with in this zone are at 110.
And 90 catches is fine, but it's the low, it's the, you want 1,200, 1,300 yards, and you want 10 touchdowns.
90 catches is too little for me.
I mean, it's fine if he's going to be targeted down the field on these bombs, right? Then it's okay. If it's high yard, if it's 1,300, 1,400 yards, you're good with 90 catches. He's, that's who he is. In past years, like 21 and 20, he had 12 and 10 touchdowns. It was just a lower touchdown season for him, so... But is it going to get any better with them drafting a running back in the second round? And you know they want to run the ball, and they added another wide receiver, and Noah Fant is going to be healthy this year. It's not a lock that DK Metcalf gets the 10 touchdowns. I would project him for about 8, but, you know, I'll take the under, over, whatever the whatever it is. So I haven't drafted Metcalf either. I like him as an NFL player, but he's been a little too volatile to take him in the third round.
I think, and let me clarify what I always say with any of these players. I don't have any bias towards any player. I'm just saying where he goes is too high for where I would want to pay.
Would you rather have, for fantasy football geek, would you rather have DeAndre Hopkins or Metcalf?
I'm going to take Metcalf, but that's my sort of inflection point. They're okay. Right back to back for me.
There's a round difference, so there it is.
That's what I'm saying. Like I don't love Hopkins that much either, in fairness.
But he's the number one. He's a target hog on a, you know, again, that's why we're talking about him.
I'll give you a name that I also, another name that I elevated into this zone. So for me, I talked about, I've got Amari Cooper as my wide receiver 15, right? Calvin Ridley, I've got right after him at wide receiver 16. I love what Lawrence is doing over there. I love what the Jaguars are doing. Yes, there's a lot of competition for touches. Ridley was a stud when he was playing a couple of years ago. He was a gambling guy. He didn't go out for injury. So let's see. Let's see how he looks. But I think he's going to look really good this season. I like Ridley there. But the next name that I have, and this one I think will be another surprise for you, and this is a plant flag. This is a geek flag plant, not a plant flag. What the? I'm planting my flag on this player. DJ Moore, wide receiver, Chicago Bears. Okay? I think this is weirdly the most, one of the better quarterback situations for DJ Moore in a while.
But is it though? I mean,
weirdly.
Well,
yes.
He's had terrible quarterback play with, you know, between bad Sam Darnold and who else was over there? Sam Darnold?
I think at some point, Teddy Bridgewater was over there.
Bridgewater.
It's been a comedy of errors at quarterback for DJ Moore pretty much throughout his whole career.
I mean, Cam Newton.
It's horrible.
Does Cam Newton count as a bad quarterback situation?
Yes, very bad. Very bad. Especially for the DJ Moore era. Like, Cam Newton had a couple good years early in his career. No, he's very bad. DJ Moore has had horrible quarterback play. I think Justin Fields is one of the better ones. But here's my thing. I'm also believing that Justin Fields will take a leap forward in his passing prowess this year. We saw it.
Oh, it was Baker Mayfield was there?
It was horrible.
Kyle Allen.
It's horrible.
PJ Walker, it's Will Greer.
PJ Walker was like his, like, come on.
Yeah. Yeah. But I'm just saying, is no one thinks that Justin Fields is like an elite passer. So is it really that much of an upgrade? And by the way, the camp reports are been, I know you're going to hate this, but that Chase Claypool's been the most targeted wide receiver so far. And I know it's just camp, but
forget your camp reports. Okay. DJ Moore is going to be the man. Listen, I love Chase Claypool to have a resurrection, like the Undertaker from WWF back in. He wakes up. You're like, wait, who's that? Well, he's alive. Yep. He's alive. What? No, DJ Moore is going to be the man over there. We saw, even a couple years ago, you saw a hint of when Justin Fields fed Darnell Mooney targets. Even though he only caught about half of them, he fed him 150 targets, I believe, one year. So, like, all we need is DJ Moore to get volume, and he will smash. I don't care if Fields is not that good. It doesn't matter. I love Fields here. I think he's going to shock the world. I think he will outplay his ADP. I've got him as my 18th overall wide receiver, just after Metcalf. I do have Metcalf ahead of him, but I'd rather take DJ Moore generally. I've got him as my 18th overall wide receiver this year. I think his consensus wide receiver ranking is in the 26, 27 zone. So we are a solid couple rounds ahead of the field. I am on DJ Moore this year. He's one of my flag plants. He's one of those guys that I try to make sure I get on every single thing. What is his ADP? I know you're looking it up.
Yeah. For DJ Moore?
Yeah.
Yeah. DJ Moore right now in the higher stakes leagues is going as wide receiver 23. He's going at the end of the fourth round. So he's going at pick 44 overall. So if you're like...
Which wide receivers are going just before him?
Drake London, DeAndre Hopkins, and your boy Amari Cooper.
Yeah, see, I'm down with Amari ahead of him, but like the ones that went even a few picks before that, like Jerry Jeudy, I'm taking DJ Moore ahead of those guys. So we are up to DJ Moore. That is wide receiver 18. We're getting through our top 24 here. Have I gone a different direction than you in these rankings at all?
I like what you're doing.
Am I off for you?
Yeah, I mean, I, you know, there's a couple, when we get into this part of the draft, it's all just preference, which guys you like. A couple players that I would hoist up into this area. I've already spoken about Christian Watson ad nauseum. I think by ADP, the Jaguars, Christian Kirk gets thrust into the, like the top 25-ish.
Really?
Yeah. Deontay Johnson is outside the top 25, but I like him. Deontay Johnson, the Pittsburgh Steelers, I mean, he had zero touchdowns last year. Like, he didn't see the end zone other than 1 2-point conversion. So if you think that touchdown regression is real for the positive, I mean, he finished his like wide receiver 29 last year despite zero touchdowns, meaning if he had even 4 or 5 touchdowns, he would be a top 20 wide receiver, and then he would be drafted as such. You're drafting him in the... It is a top 30 wide receiver, so he's somebody, even though you don't have to do it, that I would keep an eye on as Kenny Pickett, the quarterback, takes his second-year leap.
I think Deontay Johnson is yeoman-like. You're going to be happy he's there. He's going to churn some PPR goodness as your WR3.
Yeah, this is a PPR wide receiver.
Yeah, PPR only. You talk about touchdown regression, but the reality is he's regressing to what? He's never been a touchdown guy. He's been in the league for a while.
He's had
he's more of a 5 to 6 touchdowns guy.
Well, listen to this. So he had 0 last year, and then the 2 previous years he had 8 and 7.
Okay. All right. So it's actually relatively.
So give him 5 next year, right? And he had 147 targets the year before. Well, you know, you can't really count. Wasn't Kenny Pickett 170 targets? So if he stays similar target share, like if he's like 135 targets, he's an 85 catch for 950 yards type of player. Add 5 touchdowns, you're getting him in the 6th round. That's basically paying wide receiver 3 price with someone who's going to finish his like WR15.
Yeah, no, totally acceptable.
You don't have to hit a home run on every pick. Like, it's okay to hit a double, right?
He's not winning you your weeks.
But in these leagues where you have to start a lot, these leagues where you have to start 3 receivers and a flex, or if you're just in a 2 receiver and 1 flex league, then sure, then he's not someone, you might even be looking at your quarterback in the 5th round. But if you're in one of these leagues that has 3 receivers and maybe even 2 flex, these are the type of players you do need to backfill your lineup.
You know, you just mentioned something. It's funny. I rarely draft in a, you know, 2 wide receiver, 2, like the old fashioned Yahoo format, right? Where it's
when you first started playing fantasy, you know?
Yeah, back then. I rarely draft those kind of leagues now, but a friend of mine last year asked me to come in and co-manage a team for them. It was an expensive team, so I was like, I want to win this, which we did. But which we did eventually. But he's like, I want to win. It's against my local buddies and home team, but it's expensive. It's $500. So I was like, I come in to draft. I'm like, I'll step in the big shot, right? I'll draft it. And I realized like, oh, wow, wait, this format's so weird. Like how differently the draft went.
Yeah.
Because I'm used to like grabbing all these wide receivers and everybody's like taking all the running back. And I was like, what's happening here? And then I realized as the draft went on, I was like, oh, my gosh, my strategy for this draft was completely wrong because I'm used to drafting, you know, in leagues that have 3 wide receiver, 2 running back, 2 flex, tight end, you know, all of these extra.
Yeah, in those leagues, spots. Geek. Where you have 2 receivers and like no flex or 1 flex, you got to take the onesie positions early. You got to take the elite tight end. You got to take the quarterback. There'll be plenty of guys to draft to those running back spots and wide receiver spots.
That's what it turned out. I was waiting on tight end and quarterback. I'm like, don't do it. And they all grabbed quarterbacks in the front. And I'm like, these guys are idiots. And then luckily last year I picked up Fields. So it didn't matter. Right. He was on the bench.
Right.
He was on waivers. But like, I was like, these guys are stupid. And then later I realized, oh my gosh, all the quarterbacks are gone. So it was just funny how it worked out, but I did win the league.
All right. Why don't we wrap the wide receiver segment with, you'll tell me just one sleeper. I'll give you a sleeper. And these are, you know, late round guys, round 8, 9 or later that you want to have on your team, especially in leagues where we just talked about where you're starting three guys.
I also like players to avoid. Let's do a
one sleeper, one avoid.
I'm going to tell you a name that I'm simply not drafting, and he's fairly high in the rankings. You alluded to him before. I'm not drafting Deebo Samuel. I love him. It's my boy Punk, but I am not drafting Deebo Samuel at all this year. I don't understand why he is where he is in ADP. It makes no sense to me. Deebo Samuel's great year was a couple years ago. He didn't do much the last couple seasons. The emergence of Ayuk, the health of George Kittle, when those guys are and them having running back play, there's not that much of a space on this team for Deebo Samuel to produce consistently. The running game thing, it just doesn't do enough with Christian McCaffrey there. It doesn't matter. Now, without injuries, I don't think Deebo Samuel will anywhere near pay off his ADP at WR 17 or 18, wherever he's at. All of these other names I have ahead of him, I've moved him down. I'm not touching him. Give me a guy you're avoiding. What do you think of my avoid?
Yeah, I mean, that's to me, it seems like one of the most obvious avoids, but I'm glad you said it because
he doesn't realize it.
Yeah, that's what I say, because he's a name and he's going to be high in your default rankings. So I'm glad you said it. You know, it seems obvious, but I forget because we've been doing this all year round.
Got to say the obvious ones. That's
yeah. No, I totally agree with you bringing that to the attention of anyone listening to this podcast. I'm not touching Terry McLaurin in the top 20 wide receivers. I think Jahan Dotson is going to outproduce him this year. I mean, Jahan Dotson was a little banged up last year, but he's higher draft capital. So don't give me this. Remember, Terry McLaurin was a third round pick. Jahan Dotson was a first round pick. Jahan Dotson's a touchdown scorer. Now, I'll say that I'm very worried about the quarterback situation if Sam Howell is going to start, but Ron Rivera, the head coach, is on the hot seat, Geek. It's win now or goodbye. He is going to put the quarterback in that he thinks gives him the best chance to be competitive, and that is probably Jacoby Brissett. If Jacoby Brissett is the starting quarterback, he's going to be a good ball distributor, and he'll take his chances throwing down the field to Jahan Dotson. It's Jahan Dotson goes multiple rounds later, and it's why I'm not touching Terry McLaurin as a receiver that you have to take among some of the consistent guys.
I don't mind it at all. I'm not excited about Terry McLaurin one bit. So I'm with you on that as well. Now let's talk about, we do best ball, we do season long, all that stuff. So we're going to talk about sleeper. Everybody loves a sleeper pick. Everybody loves a sleeper. I've got a sleeper for you. I've got a few sleepers, but I'm going to give you one of my favorite sleepers this season. And then you tell me what you think about it. And you know, we'll do a little back and forth here, but my first one here is going to be Zay Flowers, wide receiver, Baltimore Ravens. And the reason I love him is I just don't think Rashad Bateman is that good. I wasn't that impressed by Bateman. We know that Odell Beckham gets hurt, is not reliable. And beyond all of that, the camp reports are that Zay Flowers is the best-looking wide receiver of the bunch. First-round pick. No one likes him. You can get him, you know, WR 40, like some 50. He is buried. 60? I've got him jacked up in my rankings, but he's buried in the ADP. You basically get him for free. And this is a win you your league guy. Think Hollywood Brown with Lamar Jackson if it works. And if it doesn't work, what'd you do? You wasted the last pick in your draft on a guy that could win you your league. I love Zay Flowers. He's in as many of my best ball teams as I can get him on.
Yeah, Zay Flowers right now on the NFFC, wide receiver 48, going just about pick 99. So he's not the last round, but he's certainly a double-digit round player.
He's a bench pick. You know, it's like you're two deep, three deep on your bench. You grab Zay Flowers. If Zay Flowers works out, I like that part of the draft for players that could whip me my leg. I'm not trying to get the Jacoby Myers, Yeoman-like. I've already got starters and a couple of bench players. I want to go for winners, league winners.
I'm with it. I'm urging people this year to give Gabriel Davis another chance, the wide receiver on the Buffalo Bills, given now that you have to take him in the 8th, 9th, 10th round. Last year, he was going on the 3-4 turn. He is Josh Allen's wide receiver, too. By all accounts, he was playing a little bit banged up last year. If it doesn't work out, again, it's one of those guys that you could easily move on from, but he's a player that could be, you know, an ADP beater, meaning like he can end up being wide receiver 18, which is significant in your playing in deeper formats. So if you like wide receivers in those rounds, normally, you know, Geek and I are telling you this year that we're going to attack our wide receivers early, get our running backs a little later. But if you need a fourth wide receiver, Gabe Davis is in a good spot. We've seen him do it before. I've been taking him in a lot of leagues this year, Geek.
Guys, remember to check out the running back breakdown that Sezlowski and I did right here on this channel as well, because it'll explain a little bit of why you can wait a little bit and how you can approach your draft in a way that maximizes value at all the position groups just by kind of waiting a little bit on running back and getting these wide receivers around and then getting these guys late. I'm going to rapid fire a couple at you before I let you go, Sez. Sky Moore or Kadarius Toney?
I'm still taking my shots on Toney now that he's falling because of the injury.
Interesting. Thoughts on Romeo Doubs?
I mean, he doesn't cost a lot, and I'm in on Christian Watson, so I have not been proactive on Doubs. So I'm not out, but I'm just not proactive on him.
The love for Doubs, training camp, all that crap, means nothing to you?
I mean, it means something. It means like if he's there in the 12th round and I'm looking for a fifth wide receiver, I'll take him. But he's not someone that, like, you talked about Zay Flowers. He's someone that I'm like moving up around to go get. I don't feel the same way about Romeo Doubs.
Michael Thomas, will he be healthy this year?
I mean, if he is, you're getting him in the 8th round and you have a guy that's already been wide receiver 1. So I'll take him. But just know that that could be a dead pick by week 2.
Treylon Burks, am I sad if I drafted him, or will he do what people hoped last year?
I like Treylon Burks, and of course DeAndre Hopkins being there makes him now the de facto number 2, but number 2 is not bad when this team is probably going to throw a drop more than they used to. I like Treylon Burks. I think that he's the perfect upside play where he goes in the 7th through 9th round.
Last one, and you're going to love this. Houston wide receiver group. Nico Collins, Mechie, none of the above. Worth having, not worth having. What do we do?
You're going to hate this call right here. So I'm not taking Nico Collins. I understand why people do, but I have been taking in our 20-round drafts. Now, if you do a 16-round draft, ignore this. You
can a little more best ball. These are like kind of best ball
right.
guys, right?
So I've been taking Robert Woods. He's back. He's more than a year removed from injury. He was a player that we were drafting in like the 4th round of drafts before he got hurt, and he was doing okay. So if you're in a deeper draft that has 18 or 20 rounds, he's the guy I'm taking. But if you're just looking for the straight upside guy, John Mechie's been doing well in camp, and of course Nico Collins. But you can get those guys in like the 14th round if you're home league draft. So both are a good bets, but they'll be your first drops.
I have heavy exposure to all of those guys in best ball because I just don't know, and I like the mystery. And Nico Collins is such a large player, and people don't realize he's like a giant man. So he could be a touchdown machine with a good quarterback. Who knows?
And if the rookie CJ Stroud is good, man, then you're in business.
One of these guys. I'm looking for these names that can be starters for me. That I don't want like, oh, I need to fill in for the flex. I want starters here. I want to take shots on those type of guys. All right, guys, this was an awesome breakdown. Wide receiver position 2023 fantasy rankings. You could follow my man, Alan Sezlowski. He's dropping knowledge nuggets all over the place. Fantasy receipts. He don't even know what to do with you. He's like, yeah, this guy's good. I don't have nothing to play. That's it. I'm like,
wrap it up. I have to pee.
All right. You follow him at Alan Sezlowski on Twitter. You could see him on what is your favorite podcast to promote that you do?
Oh, the RotoWire Fantasy Football Podcast. And then all season long, if you have SiriusXM Radio, we'll be on 1 to 3 in the preseason, 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. Eastern, and then in season, 7 a.m. Eastern time Sundays.
I love it. And listen, we just dropped the biggest DFS Army promotion ever, 25% off preseason sale. You go NFL 2023, promo code that gets you 25% off all of our plans. It is running for the NFL preseason. We're excited, so we're going to do that. We'll see you next time. Deuces, everyone.